Okay, I'll install it. Okay. Pas Perik Mem Gimel by Yelichin El Asher. The Malach went to the gate. Asher, which gate? Asher pointed Derech Hakadim on the east side. Pasuk Beis. And what happened? V'hinei Chavod Elokei Yisrael Bo Miderech Hakadim. The honor of Hashem has arrived from the east side. Hashem Shechina will arrive on the east side. That's by the Har Hazesim. V'koiloi, and the sound of Hashem is Kikoil Mayim Rabim. Great waters. The Haaretz, he Iro Mikvaidoi, this is a whole new idea, we never had this before, when we have Tanakh, we have something like this, is that the earth will light up from the honor of Hashem. Let's see Rashi in the Mitzudos, first Pasuk Aleph in the Mitzudos. There is no Pasuk by El Ashar, who is Shar Harabayis. Okay, we're now dealing with the Shar Harabayis, which is massive, which is 3,000 Amos by 3,000 Amos. Pasuk Beis, Kikol Mayim Rabim, Medame Kol Hashkina Lekol Hamayim, Lahasbir Esoizen Kifisho Hur Gila. Obviously, the Shekhinah is something that is spiritual. There is no comparison. You can't really understand what it means. Just to give an example, some type of thing that we can relate to some small degree. Okay, Mayim, of course, refers to Torah. Ein Mayim El Torah. As says in Chazal, Hoy Kol Tzamei Luchu Lamayim. Okay, now and then let's see the words of Rashi. Rashi just has one few short words. Vayelechenu hachazar v'chnisani l'shar hakodim v'reisi hakavod yor la'azara. I saw the kavod coming, descending into the azara. So here, maybe Rashi is not agreeing with the Mitzudos. I do not know, because here he says the word azara, whereas the Mitzudos very clearly defined that we're dealing here with the Har Habayis. Okay, so whatever that means. Okay, let's. There's a very important medrash. Okay, we'll leave this for a little bit later. Maybe this medrash not relevant now. Pasuk Gimel says, "Uchemare hamare." What exactly did the Shekhinah look like? Asher isi kemare asher the uchemare hamare. The image of the image. If you want me to describe what it looks like, I'll tell you that it was identical asher isi. It was kemare. It was like the mare asher isi bivoi l'shaches es hoir. It was like the image that I saw when I entered to destroy the city. Now, who's speaking over here? Yechezkel is not the one who's going to do the destruction. But he means obviously that when Hashem was going to destroy Yerushalayim, and Hashem took him betzitzis roshi to the Beis Hamikdash from Bavel in this vision to see the abominations of the Jewish people. That is what the Shekhinah looked like now at the time of the Bayis Shlishi. It's very, I mean, we learn this in the Malma, Lefi Pshut Shal Mikra, it's really very strange, is that over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now coming to rebuild the Bayis, to build the Bayis Shlishi, the Shekhinah has the same tsura, the same image, as what it looked like when Hashem destroyed Yerushalayim, Umarois, and also there was an image, Kamareh, Asher Isi El Nahar Kivar, and it was also like the Mareh that I saw when I was in Bavel, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took me, the first Mavu I had in the beginning of the Sefer, and the beginning of Sefer Yechezkel, which is the Haftarah for the first day of Shavuos, I saw Hashem Shekhinah on Har Kivar. That's what it looked like now when I was witnessing the Malach describing to me the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash, V'epol al ponoi, and I fell on my face. Mitzudos Tav Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk here says, Ukamare hamare kamare. It says the word mare three times. See, Pasuk Gimel says Ukamare e hamare asher isi kimare. Three times we have the word mare. Ritzoin eloi mar kimare hamare asher isi ato hoiso kimare asher isi bevoi lenabois al hashchos asoir. The Mitzudos injects many words of interpretation into the Pasuk. He's saying that the first three words, Uchamare, Hamare, Asheri Isi, what I'm seeing now was identical to what I saw before, not when I went to destroy the city. Obviously, Yechezkel is not the one who's going to destroy. Oh, wow, thank you very much.
I'm not Tana. There's another pack. I didn't want to carry it all at once.
What about me? How am I going to carry it home?
That's why I didn't want to bring it home.
Okay, thank you very, very much. Thank you very much. Very valuable. Kimare asher isi lenabois al hashchos asoir v'huma shenema karvu pekudos soir. The the officers of the city shall come close. That refers to the malachim who are coming close to destroy the city. Ki ozra mare hashchina kemo shenemar sham beinyan. There we learned that was back, that was Perek Tes, where it described the Shechina, and it described the abominations that were taking place in the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi, Pasuk Gimel, Uchamare HaMar'eh, Teisha, or Nusach Acher Sheva, Mar'ois Kisuvin B'mikrazeh. 9 times does it say the word Mar'eh in this Pasuk. U'mitoichon ha'yuroin ha'nevim chutz, and from these images, this is a very, very complex idea what it means over here. Umitoichon hoyu roin hanavim, chutz mi Moshe Rabbeinu, shahoyu roya bitoich mar o achas. Moshe saw through one mare, and all of the other levim saw through 9 visions. Lefichach, therefore, ispaklaria shaloi mi ira, his view. His gaze is clear. His but the word is black maria means his gaze, his ability to see was clear. The roi
the lens.
Okay, it's like the lens of Moshe was clear. The roi mamish, and he saw. What does it mean mamish? It's a very unusual word for Ashkenazi. So we get a reference to Moshe being his he saw the reality. Okay, v'zeu sheyosad hapayot machazois hamitzuch tzochois b'teisha. What does it mean, mitzuch sochois? I think it means like it's clouded. Right? Is that
the opposite. He translates
sach, clear?
Mirrors.
Mirrors, okay.
And here it means more like filters. They saw their vision. And mirrors polished with 9 visions.
Polished. Polished with 9 visions. And so now the question could with 9 visions. So therefore, we have the word Mara in these psukim. I didn't even count. I apologize to you.
Also, the editor notes that actually the 7 and 9 are both difficult because we find 8 mentions.
Only 8 mentions.
In the pasuk.
Okay, so that's the problem.
Maros is plural, adding an extra one, making it 9. 9 barriers, or what I just call filters, through which the prophet receives his prophecy.
Okay, let's count ourselves. Let's count the basic words. Pasuk Gimel is this: Chumare Mahamare Asherisi Kim Kamare. So that's 3. Okay, those are 3 obvious words of Mare. Go further. Pasuk says as well Umar Ois. Okay, then there's another word Mar Ois Kamare. That's another. That's 5. Asherisi El Nahar Kvar Voyapol Al Ponoi. So that is 5. Now, let's go back. What about the word re'isi? The word re'isi is also a reference to the word mare, that's 6. So if you start the pasuk again, it says, asher re'isi, that's 6. Kamare asher re'isi, that's 7. And then it says, asher, again, at the end of the pasuk, asher re'isi, that's 8. Oh, so you want to say the plural. That makes that really, that's making it 9. That makes it 9. So indeed, that works out. Then there are indeed 9. Pasigim Uchamar A is 1, Hamar S 2, Asheru Isi is 3, Kamar S 4, Asheru Isi, Bivoy Lashach is Umar Os 5, 6, Kamar S 7, Asheru Isi is 8, Uchamar A is 1, Hamar S 2, Asheru Isi is 3, Kamar A is 4, Asheru Isi is 5, Bivoy Lashach is Umar Os is 6, 7, Kimarez 8, Asher Isi is 9. Okay, so you really, what's the problem? Why don't we have, why we do seemingly have 9 in this pasuk? Now, where would you take 7? What would we delete to have 7? Maybe you take out the word Asher Isi, take that out, and take out
Mare Amare.
There are 3 Reisis. If you're going to take out the 3 Reisis, then you're taking out it's going to be 6. So you want, what do you want? You want to say Hamare Hamare is only 1.
It's plural, so you can have 7. Well,
do you know what?
Play around with this, but it,
what's plural? No, I already counted Maros. I counted Maros as 2.
No,
I counted as 2.
This time you counted as 2.
I counted as 2. If you read Maros as 2, then you have a total of 9. Look at the Apostle Gimel again. Hamare is 1. Hamare is 2. Asher Isi is 3. Kamare is 4. Asher Isi is 5. Bivoi l'shachet soir umaros 6-7. Kamare 8. Asher Isi is 9. Now that's 9. Now what would we do to have 7? What would you delete to turn this to make this into 7? What would you suggest we take out?
We have 2
ra'isis, right? Yeah, we have 3 ra'isis. That's the problem. Asher ra'isi and Asher ra'isi.
So that makes it 6.
It's taking out too much. So I think what Rabbi Mayevsky seemed to suggest is that maybe when it says mar'e ha-mar'e, that only counts as 1. The mar'e ha-mar'e, I don't know. I don't know. Only count as 1. And then umaros is also, don't count maros plural. Maros is just 1 word. Even though it's a plural word, it's a maros. So maros also means 1.
Most versions, he says, say 9.
9. I mean, that
only 1 has
7. Nusach acher b'sheva. But there must be
obviously more difficult to play with than 9.
Okay, interesting. I think this also gives a little an appreciation of the itztagnine paro. People look into the stars. How many? No, that was 11. I'm getting confused with the tisha yarche leidem. I'm all mabulbul. So what's the 11? The achad osar koychav mishtachavim li. Okay, there were 11, so that's not going to work out over here. With over here, there are 9 and there are 7. That's not going to work out. So where do we have? What is the significance of the number 9? Why would the number 9 be significant? I don't know. I have no idea. Why Dafka 9 is a significant number in reference to we seeing the Shechina, seeing the vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through a lens of 9. Where do we have in Chazal the number 9? Any suggestions? Chazal do say that a child in his mother's womb is sees the oilam misoifai viatsoifai. There is such a chazal. When a baby is in the mother's womb, his vision, his gaze, it sees everything. So that's also a degree of prophecy. This is an infant, this is an neshama developing in the mother's womb. No, there's no chazal that says that.
No, I mean, I'm familiar with the piece you're talking about. Maral says the human imagination. The human imagination goes from one end of the world to the other.
The other end of the world. Okay, so that it's so. But this is what a navi sees through the number 9, but Moshe saw through the number 1. Okay. Interesting chazal from this pasuk. Let's maybe look at the Radak a little bit. Radak over here says, now we can go back to some of the Radaks. Okay, there's no Radak over here. That's I think that we can skip the Radak. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk in Mechamareh, pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet. Okay, he does talk about the 9. He says exactly the same thing. Pasuk Dal, Chavod Hashem Bo El Habois. The honor of Hashem has arrived El Habois, Derech Hashar, through the gate, Asher Ponav Derech HaKodim. This is a repetition we said before, that Hashem Shechin is entering through the eastern gate. Pasuk Hey, Vatisoeni Ruach, a wind lifted me up, Vativieni El HaChatzer HaPnimi, brought me within the Chatzer HaPnimi, and the honor of Hashem filled up the entire bayis. Pasuk Vav, Voshma Midaber Eli Mehabois. I heard Hashem speak to me from within the bayis. The ish hoyo oimed etzli, and there was a malach standing near me. Let's see these pasukim. Pasuk Dalid, the Mitzudos David. Pasuk Dalid Uchvod Hashem. It says Achar Zen Nichnasu Hashchina El Hahechol B'derech Shar Hamizrachi El Har Habayis. A wind lifted me up from the gate of the Harbayis, brought me inside. The voice came to my ears. The ish hu hamalach hadoiver bo. Okay, the malach, the ish here is the same malach that gave him a tour. This was the malach that was part of, he was working for the Temple Institute, who gave Yecheskel a tour, a guide of the Beis Hamikdash, was standing right by his side. Rashi, Pasik Dalid, starting with the pasuk, you know, the Vavoy L'Shachay says, I didn't finish the Rashi. From the last pasuk, I apologize, I did not finish the Rashi. So go back to pasuk Gimel, the end of pasuk Gimel in Rashi. Bivoy L'Shachay So'ir, B'parashas V'Hisovisa Tov, Perek Tes, where Hashem, he marked out a line, he stretched out a measuring plumb, Shnem Hashem, Karvu Pekudos So'ir, V'Sham Perish as Dudmas HaMerkava, and there in Perek Tes, the Merkava was described in very great detail, as it was described in Perek Aleph, and it's not exactly the same as we mentioned yesterday. There are slight differences between the description of Perek Aleph and Perek Tes, and I told you the most notable difference between the two is the absence of the word Chashmal. Chashmal is probably one of the most difficult words in the entire Tanakh to translate, and it is, I told you before, it is a very great abuse of Lashon Kodesh to take for what they have done in Eretz Yisrael and whoever made modern Hebrew and to use it for electricity. That's a terrible zilzal there's no excuse. There's an incredible zilzal to take the word Chashmal, which represents the most sublime element of the Shechina. It's like the spitz of Kedusha. And to take that and use it for a word electricity. Okay, electricity is also something it's not something that a Ben Torah should do. It's not something you should do, but it's a what?
Electrician is a decent job.
No, it's a great job. I'm saying it's not something a Ben Torah should have done to take the word chashmal and use that to as a new vocabulary word in modern Hebrew to define electricity. The word chashmal represents kedusha. It represents the most sublime nature of the Shekhinah. And unfortunately, it has been abused to be used today in modern Hebrew to mean electricity. What?
Trivialized
to mean electricity. So this is one difference. Now obviously, the fact that the psukim can repeat the Maret twice in very great detail in two different types indicates that there were differences in the way the Shekhinah presented itself at the time of the Churban to the way the Shekhinah presents itself in Golos. What's interesting is that in Galus it's even more sublime. Even in Galus is where it says the word Chashmal. When the Shechina was in the Beis HaMikdash, before the Churban happened, it doesn't say the word Chashmal. Isn't that shocking? That there's a more sublime level of Shechina in Galus than when the Shechina was resting in Eretz Yisrael? It's a Pella. But that's what it says. That's differences. Okay, but anyway, over here he sees them both. He sees even the third Shekhinah, according to the Malam we learned yesterday, he even sees a third different presentation of the Shekhinah, which is not like what it said we saw at the time of the Churban, the time of Galus. He saw a third different manifestation of the Shekhinah, and all three together he's seeing now again for the third time, for the second time, we learned yesterday, it indicated there's going to be a binyan, and then there's going to be a churban, and it's going to be a golus, and then there's going to be a binyan again, the bayis shlishi. Let's go back now, pasuk vav, midaber in Rashi, midaber eloi, mismalal imi, speaking to me, kivoy, kavoid hu loymar klap,
to himself.
So he doesn't want to say, he does not want to say that Hashem is speaking to me. He really should say, it should say, midaber imi. Right? Eli means towards me. Mismalal imi. So the Targum translates the word Eli to mean imi, with me. Hashem is speaking directly to me. However, it's not their cheres to say that Hashem, I'm worthy that Hashem should speak directly to me. So therefore, he says, therefore, that's why the pasuk is written in a roundabout way, that the Shekhinah is speaking not to me, the Shekhinah is speaking towards me, and I happen to eavesdrop. Yecheskel does not want to take credit for himself to say, I'm such a great person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke directly to me. Because the pasuk more accurately should have said, midaber, imi, with me, or midaber iti, I'm not sure of the correct word, but the word Eli is not the correct word. Eli means towards me. So why did the pasuk choose the word Eli? Because he does not want to take credit for himself. Mismalel imi. So that's what the Targum says. Kavoid hu loymar klape maila midaber.
The Malbim, by Bilam, of his dream, makes a differentiation between the word kum lech yitom and kum lech, you know, he would say, I want to go imam, so he says kum lech yitom, and he says the difference between the two is sometimes you could be walking in the street with somebody, but you're not with him in mind and body. You have physically. Yeah, you're physically with him, but you're not with him. And so sometimes that's the difference. So there's a lesser form of kavod. So if you want to say it like that, So the Targum is saying imam because he realizes that it was, you know, but when he's talking about himself, he's saying imam.
Okay, I hear. That's very good. So therefore, he's saying over here. So over here, he's saying imam means spiritually. He's saying over here means better. Because over here, Hashem, my mind is there. It's not a matter of my guf. And Adarab, but here his guf indeed is not in the Beis Hamikdash.
God says, "Kum lefi tom." You want to go with him? Just go
physically.
With him. As long as you're not in the same
go
mindset,
with them physically. Right. Very good. Beautiful. It's a very beautiful shteltsu. Go with him physically. Over here, Hashem. Right. Over here, pum fakir. You say, but you're connecting it to over here. It's beautiful. Over here, Hashem is saying to Yecheskel. Hashem is speaking to him in his mind. But it's not a physical connection because a human being cannot possibly be physically connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's the Rav, he just elaborates, Midaber kimo mistaber. Kloimar beino lebein kivoidoi midaber. Hashem is speaking to himself. Hashem is mistaber means Hashem is speaking to himself. And mimela vehakol bo odai. The voice just happens to leak out and reach my ears. Yecheskel does not want to say here that Hashem is speaking directly to me. He does not hold himself worthy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would speak directly to a human being. Therefore he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking Kav Yochel to himself. And as he speaks to himself, the call leaks out and he happens to hear what Hashem is saying. Pasuk Zayin says, so what exactly did Hashem say? Ben Adam. Es mekayim kisi. So notice here just the contrast that the Malach is called an Ish and Yecheskel is called an Adam. Adam, a very big difference between an Adam and an Ish. And what's the main difference? There's no plural for the word Adam. On the other hand, there's a plural for the word Ish. Ish turns into Anoshim. Adam, there is no plural. And the Malach is called an Ish. And Yecheskel is called an Adam. Why? What's the contrast? I don't know. Something to think about. Ben Adam.
He's been called that throughout the whole.
He's always called that, right? But how often do you have the contrast?
Because he's not talking about his character. He's the only one.
He's just
putting him in his place. I mean, all the introductions to Yecheskel say he's trying to put him in his place.
You're just a human being. It also has a connotation.
You're
just
you're a person.
Ofar minhu adama.
Right.
But on the other hand, adam also means a two-way street. Adam means ofar minhu adama,
right.
But it also means adame lo elyoin. That I can be similar to Hashem. Nebuchadnezzar said, adame lo elyoin. Nebuchadnezzar considered himself to be a god. I'm a god. Adame lo elyoin. But Chazal take from this the idea that indeed a human being is created b'tzelem Elohim. A human being to some degree is similar. HaKadosh Baruch gave man potential. So look at the contrast. Of course, the whole Sefer Yecheskel, we have the word Ben Adam 100 times. But how often do you have in Sefer Yecheskel the contrast between the word Ish and the word Adam?
He's Ben Adam, which means you're mortal.
You're mortal. So you're saying when it's Adam, then it's Adam Elo Elyon. When it's a Ben Adam, it means you're just a piece of earth. You're a piece of dust. Possibly. It's a put down. But how often do you have over here this concept? We have a contrast between the word Ish and the word Adam back to back. Here, the pasuk would have not have told us that the Malach is sitting next to him. We wouldn't blink because anyway, the Malach is giving him a tour of the entire Beis HaMikdash. So what's the pasuk of coming to tell us something new that we don't already know? And even if the Malach went home and now the Malach is there, why is it relevant for us to know this information? Obviously, the fact that it's telling us the Malach, the Ish, is standing right next to him, and Hashem says to me, Ben Adam, you, I'm talking to you and not you. I'm speaking to Yecheskel, I'm not speaking to the Malach. There's a contrast. The Malach is called an Ish, and Yecheskel is called a Ben Adam. Wow! What exactly is the difference? This is to some degree coming to define the difference between a Navi and a Malach. Amal and Navi. So and we know, we do know that a malach, the most fundamental yisod of a malach is limited. A malach does not have the ability to grow. A malach is what it is. There's no growth. It does not grow to become greater. Even though there's a medrash that says that when Yaakov Avinu came to Eretz Yisrael and he saw the malachim going up the ladder, going up and down, v'nei malach elokim oilim v'yardim bo. The medrash asks a very fundamental question: since when do malachim need ladders? Don't they have wings to fly? They need ladders. So it's a shocking thing what the medrash says. You're not going to believe this. It was a baby malach. The wings did not yet grow in. You ever hear such a shocking thing before? A baby malach. Malachim grow. They grow as babies, and they get bigger and bigger. But don't we have a principle? V'nasati l'cha mahalchim bein ho'imdim ho'ele. A human being has the koyach to go mechayil el'choyil, but a malach is stationary. So maybe it means is that they grow to a certain degree, but they level out. What's a plateau? They reach a plateau and that's it. A human being goes, Mechayil al-Chol, there is no end to how far you can go. It's a beautiful contrast between Ben Adam and Ish, these two words. The contrast is, Ish can be a plural. That's one very important thing about an Ish. And Noshim, Adam, there's no plural. Either Adam means mankind, or it means an individual. It means both. But it does not have this difference between an Ish with Anoshim. Let's go. We say an ato chonen le adam das umelamed le enosh bina. The word enosh ish, which is the same as enosh, is used in reference to bina, but das is used in reference to adam. Why? Because what is bina? Mavin davar mitoich davar. You need anoshim. You need many people. You have an idea, let's talk about it. And let's discuss it. And when you discuss it through conversation, debate, dialogue, mevin davar, mitoich davar. But if you're only an adam, a single human being, and you talk to yourself, you're not going to go anywhere, only to the mental ward. You're not going anywhere. So therefore, to an adam, who's an individual, he is just, it's just das. Hashem gives a single individual das, concepts. But to be mevin davar, mitoich davar, you need to come on to a chavrusa. You need to come on to many people enosh. So here we have the blach, they're called ish, and he's called adam, vayit nepas pasuk v'zayim elah ben adam, es ha-mekom ha-kisi, the place of my throne, v'es mekom kapois ragloi, my footstool, asher eshkon sham, which I will rest, I will dwell b'soch b'nei Yisrael lo'olam forever. This is the place, this is forever. V'lo yitamu od beis Yisrael shem kodshi, and the Jewish people will no longer contaminate my name, my holy name. Heim adei umal chayim, their kings biznu some through their acts of adultery or lewdness, uvefigre mal chayhem bamosam, and through the carcasses of their kings, through their bamos, through their altars, to offer sacrifices to the gods. Now let's read this again in the Sudos with more clarity. Pasuk zayin v'yom elai v'tin lema hakol medaber boil boli aznai uchilu medaber elai. It's as if he's speaking to me. Hashem is speaking to me here, and he's speaking to me. El makayim kisi lefi shara mahamare shara bin har kavar v'sham nema shara es akisei. The gam roha es hamikdash. He saw there the kisei. He saw the kisei, the throne. The gam roha es hamikdash. He saw also the beis hamikdash. L'chein amar hinei her isicha mekoyim kisim, thy throne asher bashamayin mimal v'es hamikdash, the mikdash shehu mekoyim kapois raglai, which is my footstool. The ochas b'moshel mibein adam hayoshev al hakisei, a moshel, a person sits on a throne. V'raglav yordos lanuach al hasherafraf. The sharafraf is the footstool, asher mitachas l'kisei. So that's the nature of a melech. You have a throne and you have a footstool, and in heaven, Hashem is yoshev al hakisei, and Hashem's footstool is the beis hamikdash. And this is what he's describing. This is a very common theme, idea. Pasud li'olam lo techerav oit. So here we have a very beautiful nevuah, that when the bayis shlishi will be rebuilt, it will never be destroyed. For lo yitamu ki lo yitamu. Why? So the mitzilus adds in one more word, ki, because it will not be necessary to destroy the Bayi Shlishi because they will no longer sin. Es shame kachik lo hema, not they, v'loy malchehem, b'masha timu mi'os, like they have done in the past, biznusam, znus, the mitzudos l'shitasa always refers to not ishus, but rather avoid the zara, achar avoidas koychavim, v'masha timu b'figrei malchehem, in regard to what they contaminated themselves with, the pegarim of the kings. Now what's that mean? What does that mean? What's the peger? That means the idols. The choizer umifaresh. The last word of the pasuk is coming to define the words the pigrei malchehem b'moisam ritzayin loymar b'ma shehemidu b'mois la'avodas chachavim b'mkoyim kivrois pigrei hamelachim. He tells a new insight which I'm not familiar with. That where did the kings erect altars to sacrifice to the gods? In the cemetery. That's the best place to build the bama. Not to build it outside the shul, to build it in the cemetery. Why? Obviously, in the cemetery is where you can connect to the koichos of tuma. Okay, oiv, the yidoini, these are forms of koichos of tuma, and it comes from the dead. A place of dead bodies is where you can draw from these spirits and do whatever you do to worship idols. So he says here, as a matter of fact, that's what they did. That's where the kings would erect these massive altars, and that's why it's called the Pigre. The Bamaisam was located on the top of graves. Okay, so this is what Hashem says is not going to happen. We don't have to worry about the future. Let's see what it says over here. It says over here in the Mitzudos, in Rashi Pasuk, Zayin and Ches. Can you read two pasuk? Let's read pasuk Ches. And this Rashi does two together. Let's do another pasuk. Besitam, now besitam sipam. Now sipam scp. This means the threshold umizuzasam and the post itzel mizuzasi. When I deliver v'yakir and the wall beini ubeinehem v'timu es shem kodshi. They contaminated my holy name. B'soy avoyisam asher osu v'ochal oisam b'api, and they ate the idols to anger me. Let's read another pasuk. Ata now yirachaku es zinusam. Now in the future, the Bayi Shlishi, they will distance themselves from their acts of defiance. U'v'figrei malchehem mineni. Then v'shachanti b'soycham le'olam. I will live amongst them forever. Very unusual pasuk describing three things: the threshold, the mezuzah, and the wall. Three different things. We are more familiar with the mashkoif and the mezuzah. Here, we're not describing the mashkoif, that's not an issue. We're describing the mezuzah, and we're describing the threshold and the wall. What is this all about? Pasuk has the mezuzah stavid, besitam, ritzav lema, be'umash, ahoyu boinim, miftan be'sam, miftan be'si, besamuchla. They also, in addition to putting altars in the cemetery, they also built a temple. And the temple was adjacent to the Beis HaMikdash. V'chein hemidu mezuzah, some eitzel mezuzah spesi. V'rak binyan ha-koysel, the only difference was, hoya hoysa mafsekes bein beisi ubein batehem. They built their homes, which really here means their churches, opposite. There was a parallel. There was a parallel between
right across them?
Right across the street. You build a shul right across the street from someone else's shul. Right across the street. You tell the architect, make sure that the doorway is exactly opposite. Exactly opposite. And the threshold. And the only difference will be the walls. You go that way, you go into that shul. You go this way, you go into my shul. That's what it says by Bilam. Bilam says that they did not build the Pesach Pischeyem Zulu Umazu. So talking about Darshanim say is that Pshut HaShemikra is that you should not build a tznius. Don't build your home, private homes, to look inside someone else's people peeping Tom. Don't go look inside someone else's window. So if your window is opposite their window, you're going to see what's doing inside. It's different. When you build your house, you should build it to the side. What Abba Farshim say is, Darshanim says, when you make a shul, don't make your shul across the street from someone else's shul. Don't look for trouble. Don't, or you have a business, you have a pizza shop. don't build, make a pizza shop next door, right across the street from someone else's pizza shop. There's no question. Hasogas gvul. There's enough business for everyone. Avada, there's enough business. Flatbush is a very big place. There's enough business. There's enough business for all the rabbanim. There's enough business for all the pizza stores. But just because there's enough business for everyone doesn't mean you have to build, make the pizza store next door to the other person's. No one's going to take you to court. No one's going to be able to take you to a bezdin. You're not going to win. If you make a shul across the street from someone else's shul, you're not going to win. There's no din Torah. They'll throw it out there, but there's no din Torah. There are enough people in this community to go around to everyone. Don't go and be a thorn in someone else's eyes. Build, make your pizza store on the next block, not in front of someone. This is what Bilam saw, the mile of Klal Yisrael. The Pischeim was not zeh kineged zeh. Even though Halacha allows for it, it is acceptable. Halacha allows for it, but it's still not derech eretz. It's still not their cheretz to do. So here we have over here, this thing over here is besitam, sipam, scp. They put their threshold against my threshold. Umizuzusam, etzel, mizusi. So this over here is a very interesting idea. It's mamish, ze luuma ze, exactly the opposite of the praise that Bilam gave about Klal Yisrael. The next verse is mizuzos. Are the timu v'ze tinu eshem kachshi b'toy avosam asher asu b'vatehem hasmuchos al beisi ki minashe v'omoy nikberu began beisam. So here he's describing something more technical. Menashe, those who learn the daf yomi learn all about Menashe the last 2 days, right? Menashe, and he built an omoy, his son, who was even worse. Nikberu, they were buried, began beisam in their garden. The Sham Hamidu Bamois Lavoidas Kechavim, he connects as the previous pasuk. They were buried in their garden, and upon their grave they erected an altar to worship to Avodah Zarah, and this was right opposite the Beis Hamikdash. The kings, they lived, the palace of the king was mamish connected to the Beis Hamikdash, Chazal say. Shlomo HaMelech, he built a palace, he had a special bridge, a special tunnel to go from the palace into the Beis HaMikdash. V'ochal, l'chenifo, k'lisi osam b'yam, that's what Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I wiped them out in my anger. So this is how he learns pshat in the pasuk. Let's see, Rashi, back the pasuk Zayin and Ches. Pasuk Chayim V'Ches says, V'figur Malchayim, I'll show you B'Hotayim, Smuchim L'Beis HaKvaros, they built their homes near to the Beis HaKvaros, K'mo Shemotzim B'Molochim B'Shloimoy, U'Va'as Sal Yahu, U'Pa'amim Ta'am Shahayu Koivrim Oysam B'Gan Beisam. We know as a fact that Shlomo's palace was adjacent to the Beis HaMikdash. And he says, it's ending Asalya. Asalya also, the palace was adjacent.
It was to the
Beis HaKvaros. No, then they made it into a Beis HaKvaros. They were, as Rashi is saying, Rashi over here is saying is, I'm sorry, you're right. Shesmuchim LeBeis HaKvaros, you are correct. It says here now, okay, so it says here in the my edition, like yours, LeBeis HaKvaros. Then I have in brackets, Nusuch Acher LeBeisi. And then I have here the Sifsei Zekanim comments on these words. Shahayu batehem, none of the above, he says. Shahayu batehem samuch lebeis hamikdash kach tzarech loymar tohu sefer hakivarais. The word is a mistake. And then he goes on to say, k'mo shemtzim b'shlom v'asalya ritzon loymar shemtzim b'shlom b'shlom v'aliyosei ashayale. He goes on, divrahim, it says explicitly that his bias was adjacent to the Beis HaMikdash, and it says the same thing that Asalya also was adjacent, the home was adjacent to the Beis HaMikdash. Fine, and then what did they do after they died? They buried them in their garden. So it comes out that their kever is adjacent to the Beis HaMikdash. And then the people were Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they built an altar upon their grave, they came to worship the grave, and they offered sacrifices right opposite the Beis HaMikdash. So this was a disgrace. It was a disgrace, for number one, to be buried, not only to be buried in Yerushalayim. Number two, it's a disgrace to build a bama l'shem of the zara on top of the grave. Number three, to offer sacrifices right in the presence, right in eyesight of the Beis Hamikdash. So Hashem says this was something which was a horrible thing.
Beis Hamikdash.
Okay. Yeah.
Do we know of a kever Shlomo?
Do we? I don't think so. Any of the kings? Not the kever. No. Shlomo himself, of course, was not buried. Was not buried in his garden. It means just like we find that Shlomo and Asalia, they had their home, their palace. Right? Doesn't mean because Asalia was thrown to the dogs. But just like Shlomo and Asalia, we know as a fact that their home, their palace, was adjacent to the Beis Hamikdash. Other kings, we have a right to assume, the other kings also had their homes built adjacent to the Beis Hamikdash. They did renovations, and they were not tzaddikim like Shlomo, and they were not thrown to the dogs like Asalia. So they were buried indeed in the garden of their home, and that turned into a shrine for Avodah Zarah, which was a disgrace, being that it was right opposite the Beis Hamikdash. Next words of Rashi. So these kings, these wicked kings, they were buried in the garden. As the pasuk goes on to explain, besitam sipam, when they put their threshold SCCP, and because of that, voachal, I consumed them. Kmo voachale v'chilisi, Hashem poured out His anger upon Klal Yisrael and destroyed the Beis Hamikdash in response to these terrible sins. Okay. Now there's an interesting malam over here. Maybe let's just look at this malam over here. Maybe let's look in the malam. Let's see the malam towards the end. The malam is bepigre malchehem b'moisam. This we have to go back a pasuk. This is in which pasuk ches, I think. Let me see where's the pasuk start. Okay, the Malbum starts.
Zion.
Can't find it here. Zion. In Pasuk Zion, if you jump down in the Malbum Pasuk Zion, you go down probably a little more than halfway down. In the Dibur Hamaschil, the Pigre Malchehem Bomoisam. Does everyone have that?
Yeah.
So you can learn the traditional mikra. Like Rashi said, someone was buried inside of Yerushalayim, that is illegal, that is usur. So you are permitted to remove the kever, even though we're generally not allowed, you're never allowed to exhume a dead body. A dead body is koinem mekoymoi, but if a dead body is buried there shaloi kahalacha, then you're allowed to remove the body. So male, if a person's body is standing inside Yerushalayim, they have permission to take the body outside to exhume the body, except for mikever hamelech, the kever navi. That was an exception. A melech and a navi, they did allow them to be buried in Yerushalayim. It's a very interesting idea that they buried the vim and melech inside the walls of Yerushalayim manish. Chiddush. In Yerushalayim, you had tumah. They allowed there to be tumah.
Har Zaysim nowadays is out of Yerushalayim.
I don't know. It's outside the old city, right? Is it outside the old city? There is no wall there. I don't know. Chutz mikever hamelech v'kever navi. Rabbi Akiva says, "Av kever hamelech v'kever navi mefan." He disagrees. Even a melech and a navi has no right to contaminate Yerushalayim. Their graves also must be exhumed. Oh, but what about Beis David and the Chulda in Yerushalayim? So you're allowed. Means that if a person dies inside the city, you can bury the body in the city. But if a person dies outside this city, you're not allowed to bring the dead body inside. So you do see that there was such a thing where you did bury bodies inside the walls of Yerushalayim. So what's the answer then? of the shiva tov yir one kaim losach hayaros amukaf es chema im lo yatzel lechutz. The das haravid the harash einai kain. So he points out here a very interesting machlokes: are you allowed to bury the body of a melech and a navi inside the walls of Yerushalayim? Are you allowed to allow this to happen? The machlokes in the Rambam says yes, and the Ravid says no. The ayin shut maharit chelik yerdei simin lamed zayin masha kasev in zikever chulda hanaviy v'gam das haravid yeshloim masha yikar mishlo berotz chachamim. He wants, even according to the Ravid, the Ravid says that you're not allowed to do it. So how will the Ravid explain the fact that there did exist, I don't know if they have it still today, there did exist the kever of Chulda HaNeviah, and they are the Kivrei Beis David, which were inside the walls of Yerushalayim. So how will the Ravid explain this according to the opinion that you're not allowed to do this? He holds that they did it Shaloi Kehalacha. Not everything that was done in Yerushalayim in the ancient times was done Kehalacha. It was done Shaloi B'Ritzayin Chacham Tzerebi Chiddush. That a Neviah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would allow a person to Navi or Neviah that after they die, that they should be the source, they should be the cause of an Avera? It's a very big fiddish to say such a thing, but that's what's over here in the parentheses. That's what they did. They would get the Makam B'Pigrei Malchayhem. So he wants to learn very simple. The Malam learns very simple is that just the fact that they buried the kings inside Yerushalayim, that itself was a sin. Hashem here is coming to say that when the Bayis Shlishi will be built, this will not be tolerated anymore. Isn't that very strange? From all the different things that you can say about the difference between the Bayis Shlishi and the Bayis and all of the sins that took place during the time of the Bayis Rishon, this is what you're focusing on? Where they buried the king and the Navi? Isn't it a shocking thing? This now that my Shechina will rest here forever, and it's not going to be like the olden days where they buried the king and they buried the Navi in Yerushalayim and they buried them opposite the Beis HaMikdash.
Well, this after the fact, they are already there, so they will be there.
They'll take them out. They're going to exhume them. They're going to take them out. They're not allowed to be there. They're not allowed. It's not. That's exactly the Pasuk saying. It's not going to be tolerated. They're going to be removed. But it's very strange. Why is this? According to Malam, this is so important. This is such a significant thing. They're going to put this is the chiluk between before and now. What is this all about? I don't know. The living dead. He's calling these kings dead. They call them a peger when they're alive. The living dead. The walking dead. Hanavin Yavin. I never saw even 1 second of that. Don't worry. Don't be chesh me. Don't be chesh me. I didn't see even 1 second of what I'm talking about. Kimo sheyu haguf peger mace, just like the guf. Shekmo sheyu haguf peger mace im nistalik mimenu. If the nefesh hachiyunis hamargeshes kein gam beoy nafshay haba. Hamiyos, incredible Malbim. If a person is not a spiritual man, a person has no spirituality to him, and he walks around, he's an animal. So he's calling the kings, they're just walking dead. They have no spirituality, they're no different than an animal. Bo yikori meisu peger. Who speaks with intellect? The person only is entitled, has an intellect, when he has spirituality to him. V'hu yihyeh pere adam, void of spirituality. Person walks around with no spirituality. He's just an animal. He's just no different. Hu behema. He's an animal in the tsura of a human being. The adam shabo meis v'holach lo. The true spiritual human being of this creature has disappeared. It's just a human being. So the pasuk, according to Malbim, is saying an incredible chiddush, is that he's criticizing the kings of ancient times. The kings of ancient times, during the time of the Churban, they were not; they had no spirituality. They were kings. They were just concerned with to be like all the other nations. money, power, prestige, taiva, there was no ruchnius. And even though they were living, they were kings, and they were living in Yerushalayim, and Hashem is saying, as far as I'm concerned, such a king that has no Yirah Shemayim, no spirituality, is nothing more than a dead body. And that's going to be the fundamental difference between the bayis, the korban of the bayis rishon and sheni, and the bayis shlishi. In the bayis shlishi, the malachim, the kings, the leaders of Klal Yisrael, are going to be people of spirituality, Yirei Shemayim. That really gives a lot more flavor to the pasuk than his first interpretation.
Not all Malchai Yehuda were Rishayim.
Not all in Hanami. Yeah. Most of them were indeed good. But yet, the pasuk criticized the last three. The pasuk is extremely critical of Yehoyakim, and likewise even Tzidkiyahu.
Tzidkiyahu was a good person, but he was also criticized, he was a complex person.
Mitzad Echad, he was good. Mitzad Sheni, he was going to be a very evil king. His major failure was he did not listen to the Navi. Yirmiyah told him explicitly, Hashem wants you to surrender to Nebuchadnezzar. And he said, I can't, because that's not what it says in the polls to do. Popular opinion is that we should fight. That's exactly what it says. And therefore he refused to surrender to the Navi. And for this, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and people were exiled. If he would have, it appears from the simple reading of the Pesukim, that if he would have surrendered to Nebuchadnezzar, the Beis HaMikdash would not have been destroyed. And there would have always been a presence in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe some would have gone into Golis, maybe yeah, maybe not. But it would have been a whole different world today. Today we'd be living in an entirely different world if he would have listened to the Navi, and he refused to. And therefore, he is severely criticized for this. And this according to this interpretation, we have a lot more flavor in this pasuk. And according to the first edition of the Mountain Pasuk, we have really basically three interpretations. According to Rashi and the Mitzudois, the criticism of the pasukim here is that people were actually offering sacrifices to the gods in the presence of the Beis HaMikdash. How? What's the whole sequence of events? Kings, evil kings, lived in a palace connected to the Beis HaMikdash. They died. They were buried in their front yard, not in the backyard, in the front yard. And upon their grave, they erected a shrine, an altar, and they offered sacrifices, which was done right in front of the Beis HaMikdash. The threshold was opposite the threshold of the Beis HaMikdash, the mezuzah. The only thing was the door, the walls, in the Beis HaMikdash, and inside the other walls was Avodah Zarah. And therefore Hashem said, that's not the way it's going to be in the Bayis Shlishi. There's not going to be any Avodah Zarah in front of the Beis HaMikdash. Second interpretation of Malbim, what does he say? He says that they were holy, good kings, like the Malchei Beis David, Tzadikim Gemurim, Echol Dehanaviyah. But there was a sin that was done, and they were buried inside the walls of Yerushalayim. This was Shaloi Beretzoyin Chachamim. You're not allowed to bury a dead body inside. You're not allowed to contaminate the Ir HaKodesh. It's unacceptable, even if there's no exceptions to the rules. No exceptions to the rules, not for the Melech, not for the Navi. Maybe that's what it's really trying to highlight, is that the part of the chait of the dar of the Churban was, people thought they're above the law. They're above the law, people who are on a very high level. So when it comes to Ruchnius, you know, there are exceptions. There's no exceptions. In the Bayis Shlishi, not even the kings, not even the Nevim are going to be buried inside the Ir HaKodesh. And the third interpretation is that we're not talking about burying dead bodies. We're talking about the living dead. We're talking about that the chesaron of the evil kings of the time of the Churban was, they had no Yir HaShemayim. And as far as I'm concerned, having an Ir HaKodesh, a Beis HaMikdash, being led, being guided by people who have no Yir HaShemayim is the ultimate Churban. And when the Bayis Shlishi will be rebuilt, the people that are going to lead Klal Yisrael are going to be people of spirituality in the highest level. And that's going to be the fundamental difference between the past and the future. Three Mahalchim to explain this concept, and it's brought out with three very powerful words, the Sipom, the Mezuzah Son, and the Kir. Obviously, these words have a lot of very great deep meaning. These words, we know that the Yitzias Mitzrayim was, they put the Dam Pesach al Hamashkoif, V'al shtei ha-mezuzos. Okay, doesn't say anything about here. The mashkab talks about over here the mezuzah. Where do we find the word the word for the threshold? We talk about, I don't remember. Okay, let's leave it with that. So we have more to over here. I think we did the Rashi. Let's finish the Rashi. The Rashi is Pasuk Tes. Pasuk Tes. We did the Metulis, right? That we did. Pasuk Tes. Did we?
We didn't do the test yet.
Okay, so one more pasuk then. Ata now. Pasuk Tes. Ata now. Yirachaku es zinu sum. They will distance there when the bayis shlishi is rebuilt. They will distance as zinusam upigwe malchehem, like we told me many. V'shachanti v'secham la'olam, I will rest inside the mikdash forever. Pasuk Tes in the mitzvah stavrat yirachku yirachku milibam znus adavetz kachavim. They will distance themselves from the znus, the turning away to worship idols. V'lo yamidu od bamos al kivros pigwe hamalachim, like the mitzvah shitas of yaf mikam kivros pigwe hamalachim yachiku mibesi. He will also remove the bodies of the kings. Ki yinhagu by kedusha yisera. No one's allowed to be buried in Yerushalayim. Ulchein eshkon b'sacham ma'olam. I'll live there forever. V'lo yisazu shchinasi mibeneim. My shrine will never leave from amongst them. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk tes. Ata now al karcham. They'll have no choice in the future. Yirachaku as zinusam shehevdalti li hekif gevul gadol saviv. Maybe what he's saying over here is
Rashi still exists.
Maybe what he's saying over here is that since we know that the Yerushalayim is going to be expanded, the Har Habayis is going to be now, it's going to be 3,000 amos by 3,000 amos. It's going to be vastly expanded. So that means Yerushalayim is also going to be. So it's going to turn out now that places that were cemeteries that in the past were outside Yerushalayim are now going to be swallowed inside the new Yerushalayim. So it's not acceptable. Since this city is expanded, and in Yerushalayim you're not allowed to bury anyone, so they're going to exhume all the bodies, all the cemeteries that are now going to be included inside the new expanded Yerushalayim are going to be removed. It's going to be a lot of paranoia for a lot of people. It's going to be a big job to clean all these cemeteries.
So
that's
it is before or after?
After, when they build it, when the Mashiach comes and the base Hamikdash is expanded and Yerushalayim is expanded, and then we discover when the new walls of Yerushalayim are put up, what's going on here? This that used to be a cemetery that was very, very far away from Yerushalayim is now within the limits in the city of Yerushalayim. It's going to have to be removed. Maybe that's what's saying over going to Rashi. Shevdalti lil hekef gavul gadol saviv. I'm now going to have everything is going to have to be removed. Okay, so this concludes this section. This begins the after parashas Tetzaveh. Something we spoke about many times. Just we're touching upon over here now is the issue of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Pam, Rav Arises of Gavul. To share on this topic is a kedai for a person who's living in Chutz Li'aretz to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. He had a discussion about this topic with Rapam, and Rapam said it's not so silly. People in America feel in Chutz Li'aretz. So Yaakov Avinu was desperate that they should take his body out of Egypt. He did not want to become a deity, and also did not want to suffer the Gilgal Atzamois and the Mechilois for Techiyas HaMesim, also if a person is very short, so he's zoicha to an earlier resurrection than everyone else. So is it kedai for the average person who can afford the expense of purchasing karka and being transported there, achar mea ve'eshem, is it a worthy thing to do? Rav Henkin held it was a waste of money. Rav Henkin was very against this. I guess he was very, very against it. He held mamish was a waste. It was, and also in his day, it was very expensive. Today, it's also expensive, but it was a little bit different then. And he said he should be buried here. He should not spend this money. The money instead should be given to tzedakah. So, but there are different inyanim. So, Rav Pam told him, "Rising, knowing you should not forget about that. We spoke about this many times. The Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says a person who dies in Chutz Li'aretz is not allowed to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. You're not allowed to contaminate my land. Like the Mamashu says over here, just like in Yerushalayim, it is forbidden to bury even a king and a navi. Malbim says it was done shaloi, but it's in chachamim. You don't bring contamination into the holy ear Hakodesh." The whole Eretz Yisrael is holy. How does a person have a right who's living in Chutz Li'aretz to have his body be transported and can bring contamination, tumah, into the Holy Land. So Yerushalmi holds that if a person dies in Chutz Li'aretz, it's not proper to be buried, to be brought to Eretz Yisrael. On the other hand, but a person, of course, if he dies in Eretz Yisrael, it's a given. It's a given. Oh, but it says, V'chiper admosoi amo. There are so many Mamori Chazal that speak about the Milo being buried in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, that's if you live in Eretz Yisrael. So what about Bizman Hazeh? So there are different minhagim. There are taka. There are some people at Palm Hill that a person who primarily does not live in Eretz Yisrael, does not have really that much to do with Eretz Yisrael, it's not so simple. He should, even if he has the money, even if money is not an issue, he's a multimillionaire and money is not the issue, but he has no shaykhis to Eretz Yisrael, it's not so simple. But on the other hand, a person has a shaykhis, he has property in Eretz Yisrael, he visits Eretz Yisrael, he purchases the Israeli bonds, and he supports his children learning in Eretz Yisrael. That's a whole new ball game. Then you mamish in the chumer to the aretz, and then it's not an issue at all.
Rabbi Reuben the Mishayirot was very, very sick.
To die in Eretz Yisrael.
They transported him with.
He should die in Eretz Yisrael. There's a two inyanim there. Number one, the Mishayir Rebbe. Number one, the ish. There are two ish. Number one is the taka. If you die in chutz li aretz, you have no right to bring tumah to Eslifa, die in Eretz Yisrael. Person is very, very sick, so he goes into Eretz Yisrael. Number two, there's an inyan of dying in Eretz Yisrael. Forget about the inyan being buried. Even if a person has property, he owns property, and he just left Eretz Yisrael before he left to go to a doctor in Chutz Yisrael, to die in Chutz Yisrael. So Shaila, l'chatchila, he can be brought back to Eretz Yisrael. But there's another concept, which we don't know what this means, is the netilas neshama should be bedavka in Eretz Yisrael. It's a very holy concept, which he was shaykh to. The average person doesn't even have any clue what this is all about. The order, what is the Seder HaDvarim? So the Rambam talks about this. The Rambam says no one knows. When the day is over, no one knows
because
how it unfolds.
If there's a mason, then there's no cemeteries.
Very good. So it seems that there will be right, it's true, and everyone at the same time. Everyone gets at the same time. There are different tkufos. Maybe the minhag will be built first, then tchias mason later, different stages. The Rambam talks about this, and that's one of the very big, very, very big questions, is the Seder Hadvar. That's the big, big mystery. What is the order? Coca-Cola. What's the secret formula? We know what the secret formula of Coca-Cola is. Everyone knows to go to a laboratory. And you can test it out. You can see what all the ingredients are. The koyach is the Seder HaDvarim. Which order do they put the ingredients? Is it nafkamina, chemical reaction? The way you add the ingredients into the mix, that will have a different result. Same thing, the Seder HaDvarim is something which is a very big mystery. We do not know. Let's stop over here.